The following message comes to you from the pulpit of Bethlehem Primitive Baptist Church in Ocala, Alabama. To find out more information about Bethlehem Church, visit us online at bethlehempbc.org.
One of the things that struck home, I believe, in our teachings over there, and I want to share it with you here this morning, it's on my mind and it's on my heart, is the subject of being justified. And if you want to be turning in your Bibles to Romans, the 8th chapter, we're going to read some very familiar verses, 28, 29, and 30. And we want to talk to you about being justified. Now, in the Bible, there are basically two categories of justification. Don't forget that. There's two categories of justification. There is the first category, which we will speak of first, which is being justified by the blood of Jesus, being justified by the grace of God. That is a category all to itself that we have no control or impact over. It is something that was set in place before the world was formed, and the beneficiaries of that justification by grace are who they are. God's word makes it clear that He knows exactly who they are, and it's a number. Don't ever forget this. Y'all probably get tired of hearing me say it. But it's a number that no man can number, as the stars of the sky, as the sands of the sea. If anybody ever says Primitive Baptists are those exclusive ones that say there's only a few, you know, few little handful of elect going to heaven, that is, we are the ones that teach there's more children of God in the number of God than anybody out there. I promise you that. We say that it's not limited to confession and to denomination. It is only limited to the number of people that God said you cannot number. And I can basically give you a general number for the number of people that have heard the gospel in the last 2,000 years. You can trace where it's been. But God's people are so numerous before Christ came and after Christ came that you cannot number them. But praise God, God not only has them numbered, but He has the hairs of their head numbered. Now that's a mighty God right there. That's justification by grace. And let's read it. In Romans 8, 28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. If you'll notice, there are two bookends in Romans 8, 28, and on down to verse 32. You notice He says, we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. And in verse 32, He says, He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? Those are the two bookends that define the context of Romans 8, 28, 29, and 30. You can't put anything else in between those things. And regardless of how many times you've heard somebody stand up at a funeral where somebody tragically died and they say, well, we know all things work together for good, they are misusing out of context these two bookends. And you, by the way, you never hear them read verse 29 and 30. You never hear that. I've said before, I've wanted to stand up at some funerals and say, read the next verses. Because that is the description of the things that God is doing for His people. And has done and will do. The bookends define what is going on. So the Lord is doing some things that work together for the good of who? All mankind? No, to them that love God. Who loves God? To them who are the called. To them, not them that are being called, but to them that are the called, which are the ones that God has known before the foundation of the world and written in the Lamb's Book of Life, a number that no man can number. And God has made sure that each one of those will be justified by grace. See, that's His work. For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Many times on the radio, as I've been preaching on the radio since 2006, I've issued this challenge to those that are listening, and I wonder how many have gone and done it. If you've never heard a sermon in your church on verse 29 and 30 of Romans 8, you should go and ask your preacher why. Because these are the things that God has done for His people. They are not negative things. They are all positive things. And He foreknew a people. That means he knew them in love, and He set their destination to be conformed to the image of His Son. How can that be a bad thing? You're going to look like Jesus one day, and I don't mean be a clone of Jesus. You're going to be in your body. You're going to be physical in your body, but you're going to be changed. Like the seed of corn goes into the ground, it does not look like a seed when it comes up from a stalk, right? That's the resurrection. You're going to be in your body, conformed to the image of Christ, One of the things that God has done for you is to foreknow you. And the next thing that He has done is to set your destination as heaven. Otherwise, nobody would be there according to the truth of total depravity. There's nobody out there wishing they could get salvation so they could go to heaven, and they're being left out because they're not part of the elect. There's no such person like that. You see, anybody that desires to be saved, anybody that wants to be saved, is already a saved child of God. Whom He did foreknow, He also did set their destination. Verse 30, moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called. The call there is the new birth. It's another way to describe the new birth. Regeneration is describing the new birth. Being called is describing the new birth. Hearing the voice of the Son of God in John the 5th chapter is describing the new birth. Quickening, Ephesians 2 and 1, and you hath He quickened who were dead in trespasses and in sins. You see, it's just such a pile of Scripture that supports these things that they just frankly cannot be denied. You see? This is God's truth. It's not mine. I didn't come up with this. This is God's truth. And it adds up to one thing. All glory to the Lord for our eternal salvation. Whom he called, then He also justified. That's what we're talking about. Justified. This is justification. It means, literally, God has declared His people innocent. That's a good thing if you know anything about court. Because that's what a jury would do if a man was charged with a crime and they find him not guilty. They have justified him. They have found him innocent. Now, this is the courtroom of God. This is not the courtroom of men. This is a place far away in heaven where in the courtroom of heaven, God, based on the sacrifice of His Son, has declared that it is just as if I never sinned. Justified. You remember that. Justified means just as if I never sinned. That's good news for sinners, is it not? So Jesus, in the courtroom of heaven, by His blood, by His sacrifice, He has declared it is just as if I never sinned. Because why? Because of His blood. See? And these things that God is doing for us, foreknowing, predestinating, calling, borning again, justifying, it is the blood on the cross that has justified, and also He will glorify us one day in the resurrection. All of these things work together for the child of God to their good. So there's nothing, as Paul says, who is he that condemneth? Who will lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God who justifies, in verse 33. There's nothing that can separate you from the love of God. There's nothing that will keep you out of heaven. There's nothing that will, there's no pit of despair that you can fall to. There's no height of arrogance that you could rise to. Nothing can take away the surety of your justification by grace. So, well, what about the others? Well, another word about justification by grace, and then we'll look at the others. Justification by grace to declare you innocent is the work of Christ alone. You notice how the foreknowing and the predestinating is the Father's work, the calling is the work of the Holy Spirit, and the justifying to declare you innocent was the work of Christ on the cross, and then the Holy Spirit, the Father, and the Son are going to all come back and get happy and resurrect everybody. That's all together, you see. And then we'll see them all as one. But this is only by the blood of Jesus. If you turn a few pages back over to Romans 5 and verse 9, listen to this. He says in Romans 5 and 9, this theme is all throughout Romans, by the way. He says, much more than being now justified, how? By His blood. We shall be saved from wrath through what? Through Him. See, this is justified by the blood of Christ. Man cannot fit into that. Your confession cannot fit into that. Your belief does not fit into that. There is a place for those things, and we're going to talk about them. But when it comes to justification by Jesus, justification by blood, remember, there's two categories of justification. The one that belongs to Jesus alone is justification by grace. Titus, the 3rd chapter and the 7th verse, you see, there's 30 or 40 other verses that we could look at. And if y'all wanted to stay here till 1:30 or so, we could cover them all. But I think you're going to get hungry. And we have lunch today. So let's just look at a few. Titus, the 3rd chapter and verse 7, if I can get there. Titus 3 and 7. Listen to what he says. That being justified by His grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. You see, that is the work of Christ alone. It's by His grace. Grace, you know what the definition of grace is? It's an unmerited favor. You say, well, I deserve grace. I'm a pretty good person. It's not grace. You say, well, I've earned it. I've earned grace. It's not grace anymore if you say I've earned it. It can't be. By definition, it excludes work. Romans the 9th chapter, he tells you about that. Or maybe it's Romans the 11th chapter. He tells you about that if it's grace, then it can't be by works. Belief, confession, walking down the aisle, praying a prayer, being baptized, that's a work. Thinking a thought is a work. You expend energy when you think a thought. That's a work. Thanks to Brother Neil for clarifying that several years ago. I love it. It's a great point. Even thinking a thought is expending energy. And so if grace cannot be grace if it's by works. And if it's works, it excludes grace. See, grace is an unmerited favor. We are justified by the grace of God alone. See, the Scripture is very clear about this. So, what about this other category of justification? Oh, I love the Word of God. Y'all know that. I know you love it too. And the Word of God is so clear in its context and its definitions. So let's consider, we've talked about justification by blood and grace alone. That is the work of Christ. You can't fit man into that. But there is another category that includes two types of justification, and they're symbiotic. They work together. They are something that go together hand in hand. And it's justification by faith and justification by works. Let's look at those. Now remember this, if justification by grace is the work of Christ and it's with Christ alone, justification by faith is right here in your heart. It's right here. This is justification by faith. Ask the simple question, where is faith? Where is my faith? Where is the faith that God has given me? It's in my heart, right? It says in Galatians 5 that faith is a fruit of the work of man, of the confession of man. No, it's a fruit of the Spirit. So if you have faith in your heart, it's because the Spirit has implanted it there. And He implants faith in the new birth. See? You don't believe to get faith. Scripture says, Jesus' own mouth says that you believe because you have faith. I've used this example many times. Why does a baby cry when it's born? Because it's dead? Or it wants life? Because it's alive. See, a baby cries because it's alive. A baby doesn't cry to get life, and a child of God doesn't cry to get life. A child of God gives the evidence of life when they cry. See? And you know what that cry is according to the Word of God. Romans the 8th chapter says that the Spirit of God has been sent forth into the heart of God's children crying, Abba, Father. You see, the Spirit of God causes the child of God to cry out, I have a heavenly Father. I've been the child of Adam. I've been the child of Adam's nature even. But now, because God has done something on me, I now have the Spirit of my heavenly Father. I've been adopted into the family of God. So you can only believe because you have faith. Belief is a derivative of faith. See? So by faith in the heart, this is so important. Because you know why? This is why this is so important. And by the way, the Christian philosopher Francis Schaeffer, who was deceased, wrote of this in the 1980s in one of his volumes that I've been rereading again and really enjoying it, that people have faith in their faith. Y'all understand that? What does that look like? This is what it looks like. When somebody says, they say, are you saved? They say, yes, I'm saved. Well, how do you know you're saved? Well, because I made a decision. Or because I accepted, or because I prayed, or because I was baptized, or because I did this. You see, the word I does not belong in the same sentence as faith. Do you understand that? Do you wonder why it's so popular today for preachers to say, are you sure? Are you sure you've made it real? Are you sure you accepted good enough? How many times have we heard Brother Luke preach about the fact that he accepted Christ 1,000 times? Because he couldn't get the feeling good enough. See, this is not faith in our faith. This is not faith in man. It's not faith in the preacher who spoke the Word of God to you. It's not faith in the parent who may have diligently taught you the Word of God. It is not faith in a decision. It's not faith in a confession. It is faith and trust and confidence in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now you see how this ties over to the courtroom of heaven, how it ties over to justification by grace. Faith says, I believe that according to no work of my own, no confession of my own, no belief of my own, but I believe that the Lord has saved me by grace. The object of your faith is the justification by grace, by Jesus. Does that make sense? So think about how many people are going around saying, I've got faith and I believe I'm saved because I did this or because I did that or because of a certain time. It's okay to think back when the Lord revived you. It's okay. Many people know when they were born again. I do not know when I was born again. I've always known that I felt bad whenever I got in trouble, and I felt bad when I got a spanking back home. I felt convicted. I didn't just feel sorry I got caught, but I felt really bad. I don't know when I was born again. I can't give you a time. Now, somebody like the Apostle Paul can give you a time when they were born again on the road to Damascus, and no preacher requested permission for him to be born again, and no spirit or no Jesus requested permission to enter his heart. He just did it, you see? That's how the Holy Spirit works. He doesn't need permission from man. The Holy Spirit is not bound by man. It's like the wind, and the wind is sovereign. I can't remember when I was born again. If you can, praise God. Tell us about it. That's a glorious thing. Elder Martin Agnani, who we've used as example many times, who was very mean to his wife. This is his own confession, as you know. It's not me passing off slander or anything. It's his own confession. He was mean to his wife. He drank and he caroused around throughout the night. And one night he goes to bed and he wakes up the next morning and he feels sorry for his wife. He feels sorry for his children. God has born that man again in his sleep. Because God is not bound. That's almost comical, isn't it? Go to bed, a dead in sins person who doesn't care about anybody and anything. You wake up the next morning. What's happened? He was born again in his sleep. Now see, that's how... Okay, well, who gets the glory for that? Only God can get the glory. So your faith, see? Your justification by faith, is it's essential that you see justification by grace. Because justification by faith says, I am declared innocent. It is just as if I have never sinned, not based on me, not based on what I did, not based on some time in my life when I decided to get right with the Lord. Praise God, we did get right with the Lord, but it's not based on that. It's based on the work of Christ. Justified by grace. Your justification by faith says, I have no righteousness of my own. Let me prove that to you from the Scripture. Turn to Luke 18. You know, if the Scripture gives you a principle of doctrine, it's always going to give you at least one example to back that up. Now, on justification by faith, there's many examples. Listen to this now. I love this. Luke, the 18th chapter. This is when the two men in verse 10 go up to the temple to pray. The old Pharisee, who's thumbing his lapels, he says, look at me. Look at how good I am and how good I act and all the good things that I do, the confession I've made. Look at how I don't extort from men. I'm not like other men. Boy, this guy is very proud of himself, is he not? Now listen, I know when many of you have said this in your own lives, we have said things like, How do you know you're saved? Well, I believe I'm saved because of fill in the blank. I did this or I did that. I'm not saying you're the Pharisee. Maybe that's only the lingo. Maybe that's only the terminology that you knew at the time. I want to give you some better terminology. I want to give you some accurate terminology. So when somebody says, do you know if you're saved? And you say, yes, I believe I'm saved. You say, well, how do you know? When did you do this? You say, it's not about when I did it. It's about when Christ did it 2,000 years ago on the cross. I believe he died for me. See? Oh, that makes you, if you say that, it just makes you feel better. Because it doesn't include me in it. The old Pharisee's coming up here and he's saying, look at me. Look at what I did. There's no justification for this man because there's no justification in the works of man. Isaiah said, all my righteousnesses, all of man's righteousnesses, all the good works that he can do are as filthy rags before the Lord when it comes to your eternal salvation. See? And this old Pharisee comes up, thumbing his lapel, look at me, look at what I've done. And then there's that old sad, pitiful publican in the back there. Won't even lift up his eyes to the Lord. It says the publican standing afar off would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast. And he said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Oh, that's the confession of justification right there. Justification by faith. He said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Now you say, how does this have anything to do with justification? Out of the mouth of Jesus Christ himself. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified. Isn't that something? This man was justified by faith because he saw that there was nothing within himself that would merit any kind of salvation for him. I tell you, this man was the happy man. The other man was content within himself. He was within himself and looking at his own works. But the man who was justified by faith went down to his house just as if he had never sinned because he knew that he couldn't save himself. Oh, child of God, It feels good in your heart of hearts to say that. You say, well, wait a minute. If I say that, I'm letting go of all of my works. Amen. I'm letting go of all of my ability. Amen. I'm letting go of saying, I have faith in something that I did. Then you are in good company, because that is the company of the publican. And Jesus looked on that man and he said, that man went down to his house justified. And you know the irony of it is, in his mind, that man is thinking, oh, there's no way I could be justified. I'm such a sinner. That's a confession of a child of God who's justified by faith. I say that to myself. There's no way. How could God justify me, a wicked sinner? It's the same thing the publican said. Job said, shall a man be just with God? Can a clean thing come out of an unclean thing? You see, it's okay to say, I have no righteousness of my own. I have no ability within myself. My works are nothing before the Lord. When it comes to my salvation, Jesus has paid it all. That's a great confession. That's what God, it is, listen, that is music in the ears of our Lord. And Jesus says the same thing of you that he said of the publican. When you say, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I have no hope, but if only someone, Christ, only he has saved me, that's the only hope I have. You're in good company. That's justification by faith. By the way, Abraham had it too. Look at Hebrews. He's mentioned in the book of Romans, but we'll use the book of Hebrews. I'll park here for just a minute because we have another example in the book of Hebrews. Hebrews 11, the hall of faith. We call it the hall of fame of faith in Hebrews 11. And look at it, what it says in Hebrews 11 and 17. This is all about faith. And notice it says, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith is the fruit of the Spirit. It's something God puts in you. And it says in verse 17, by faith, Abraham, when he was tried, he offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son. You see, when Abraham offered up Isaac, he was justified by faith. How does that work? It's because he believed God. God had told him that your son is going to produce a mighty nation. Your son Isaac is going to produce a mighty nation. Not Ishmael, the son by Hagar, but your son Isaac is going to produce a mighty nation. And then the Lord says, go and sacrifice him. So you understand, Abraham puts two and two together. The first thing is, he's going to raise up a mighty seed by my son. The second thing is, he's asked me to sacrifice my son, that he must be going to raise my son from the dead. Now, what power within Abraham did Abraham have to do that? None. So you see, he was justified by faith, by believing that God was able. And you, child of God, are justified in your heart by faith when you believe that God is able to save you from your sins. By the way, that's Romans, the 10th chapter. Did you know that? Romans, the 10th chapter says, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth and believe in thine heart, thou shalt be saved. That is a saving from ignorance. You see, Paul said, my heart's in prayer desire for Israel, my brethren in Israel, is that they might be saved. Saved from what? I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they being ignorant or ignoring God's righteousness have gone about to establish their own righteousness, and they have not submitted themselves to the righteousness of God. And Paul says, there's people in the nation of Israel that have Christ in their heart. He said, he's nigh there. He's in their heart. He's right there ready to come out of their mouth. You see? And it's not talking in one instance about eternal salvation. It's talking about justification by faith. See? You understand, somebody can't have a zeal of God unless they're born again. You understand that? There's nobody that has a zeal of our God, Jehovah, without being born again by Jehovah. Paul said, there's people in my nation who are children of God and they're zealous for God, and they are hanging on to their own works. They're hanging on to the works of the law. And I tell you, that applies today. How many of God's children are hanging on to their own works? I've done this. I've made the confession. I've done this, and therefore, but did I do it good enough? I don't know. I better do it again. And some preacher comes along and says, are you sure? Are you sure you did it good enough? Did you make it sure? You need to nail it down. Do it again. I've heard Brother Neil tell me about times when elderly people who have been going to church all of their lives, and they've been attending church faithful and zealous and doing great works, and they'd come in to him and say, you know, I just don't know about my salvation, because some preacher told them, are you sure? Are you sure you did it right? They've been serving God their whole life. They come down the aisle again to try to make it sure again. Let me tell you something. I've got a better message than that. I've got the message of justification by faith. And your confidence, your faith is in Jesus. And justification by grace. That's where your confidence is. Amen. Somebody says, are you saved? Yes, I'm saved. I love what the little girl said in school. She was a Primitive Baptist up there. I think she was a member of Elder Guy Hunt's church years ago. And they asked her in school, somebody asked her, do you believe you're saved? She said, yes, I believe I'm saved. Well, when were you saved? She said, I was saved 2,000 years ago on the cross by Jesus. Amen. Now see, that's justification by faith. Justification by faith looks away from what you do, say, or think. And it looks to the work of Christ. Glorifies the work of Christ. And he says in Romans 8, it's the same thing. Romans 8 and 1, he says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. You see, walking according to the Spirit, you have justification by faith. Because you're trusting in Jesus for your salvation. Are you trusting in Jesus, I ask you this morning, for your salvation? Or have you been hanging on to something that you've done? It's nothing like the relief and the freedom of saying the same thing that the publican said. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I need mercy. I'm not a thought of a reward in heaven or some crown in my some jewel in my crown in heaven is the farthest thing from your mind. That's what was on the mind of the Pharisee, right? I'm going to get a lot of crowns in heaven. I'm going to get a lot of jewels in my crown. No, that's the farthest thing from the child of God's mind. Your thought of the child of God is, I just can't even hardly believe that I'm going to be there. I'm such a sinner. It's amazing that I would even be there. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. By the works, justification by works. You got justification by grace in the courtroom of heaven. The work of Christ alone. Anytime you see the word justification, and it has to do with the work of Christ, it's always going to be justification by grace. It's His work alone. But when you see justification, and it has something to do with something you do, or you believe, that's always going to be justification by faith, or justification by works. See? You say, well, Brother Tim, this means I'm going to have to read my Bible a little more carefully. Amen. That's a sign of God's people following the Lord. It says those in Berea were more noble than those in Thessalonica because they searched the Scriptures daily. Oh, search the Scripture. Put away the distractions. Put away the things that will distract you and choke out the Word and search the Scripture. I ask you, did you feel justified by faith this morning? If you're trusting alone in the work of Christ, then you are justified by faith. Then there's justification by works. It's in the eyes of men. Think about it. You look at somebody and you say, boy, they've got great works. They're doing some great things. Now, again, only God, it's between them and their heart, you know, what the Lord has done for them. We can look from an outward appearance and say, that person must be a child of God because look at the good that they're doing. Y'all know who I'm talking about. You might be thinking about your grandmother. You might be thinking about your granddad. You might be thinking about somebody you know in the community who is serving and working and doing things that honor God. Only the Lord knows their heart, but you can see their works, right? James, the second chapter, speaks of justification by works. And I want you to notice how they tie together. James 2 and 17, he says this. My goodness, I've got 2 minutes to close. James 2 and 17, he says, even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead. The word dead means dormant. I mean, have you ever heard, I've heard this years ago in a sermon, but I think it was Elder Sonny Piles that said this. If there's the old guy who beat his wife and he drank, you know, hard liquor every day, and then he had shed a tear when he sang a verse of Amazing Grace. Well, he must be a child of God. Come on. It's not our call, of course, is he a child of God or not. But that's not the kind of works we're talking about. Just shedding a tear over Amazing Grace. No, we're talking about a work like what is described here. Works like what Abraham did when he was trusting in the Lord for deliverance. And works like Rahab the harlot. Y'all understand, this woman was a prostitute. And she was justified by works. Don't you know that just irritated the Pharisees that her name was in there? Don't you know it irritated the Pharisees that her name was in the lineage of Christ? That she married into Israel? This woman who was a prostitute? This woman who ran a brothel? and this woman is justified by works, who in the world would look at her and think, well, she's justified by works? No, listen, this woman, it says she received the spies with peace. It says that in Hebrews 11, in reference to justification by faith, and here in James 2, it refers to justification by works. You look at that and you think, how in the world did that woman do that? She stood against the king. The king said, did those men, those spies come into your house? And she turned them away. She protected them. See, she stood against the government. She stood against the culture. She stood against the child sacrificing culture that she was a part of. She stood against her own past because she was a prostitute. And she was justified by, as those spies looked at her. They said, this woman has delivered us. And she was justified by works. You know, remember, it doesn't have anything to do with being justified by grace. That's the work of Christ alone. But you can look at Rahab and you can say, good grief, this woman was a child of God. You look at Abraham right now. You look at Abraham. It says, verse 21, was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son up on the altar? You see, we look at that and we go, goodness gracious, this man had to be a child of God. Look at how he trusted in God. You think about people you know in your life. Oh, listen, I'm convinced that there's many of God's children. I know that there's many of God's children who have been turned off on the modern religious things of the world, and they have rejected those things, but they're still out there doing good, and they're still out there doing works, and those are children of God, and we see that they are justified by works because we're not worried about the things that man say they should have done. You can see that they're good, godly people that are bearing the fruit of the Spirit. See? That's justification by works. While I was teaching this, over there in Zambia, we had about 7 or 8 other denominational preachers there. And I've never seen anything like it. I usually have to point this out. I usually have to say, do you understand that this is what justification by works means? But one of those dear brothers, humble brothers, as we were discussing justification by grace in the courtroom of heaven, the work of Christ alone, justification by faith in your own personal heart, like the publican said, God be merciful to me, a sinner, and justification by works. When you look at other people and you say, boy, there's some evidence that that's a child of God. As I was discussing that and talking to them about that, this one brother raised his hand and he said, does that mean that my Muslim friend who I see bearing fruit in the community and doing good things and helping the widows and helping the orphans, does that mean that he may be a child of God? And I said, absolutely, if he's justified by grace in the courtroom of heaven. And you know what they all did? Every single one of them there started clapping. And if I've ever felt the Spirit of God, I felt it then, didn't you, Brother Neil? I'm telling you right now, it was glorious. I didn't even have to point it out. You see, listen, that's not glorifying that, oh, you know, we glorify the Muslims. That we glorify false teaching. No, it's glorifying our Savior who has a people out of every nation and kindred and tribe and tongue, and He will not be denied His children just because they've been deceived or just because they've been made to think this is how you get to heaven. This is what you must do. It does not deny the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ paid for their sins alone, and if they are justified by grace in the courtroom of heaven, the Apostle Paul said, what shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? There's no denomination that can be against us. There's no false belief in our mind that can be against us because Christ is for us. That's justification by grace in the courtroom of heaven. God's work alone. Justification by faith. I'm a sinner. I have no hope of salvation other than the work of my Lord, which is by grace. And then people see you doing the things that you do serving God. And they say, there's a person that's justified. Look at the good works that they're doing. Is that not simple? Give me some feedback. Isn't that simple? It's so simple a child can understand it. If you believe that this morning, it's incumbent upon you to make the same confession that the publican made, smote upon his breast, and he said, God be merciful to me, a sinner. I have no righteousness. I give God all the glory. And Jesus said, you are justified by faith. When you do that, if there's one or more here that would like to follow the Lord, believing that their only righteousness is in Christ alone and His Word, we'll stand and sing number 213 and give you an opportunity to come forward. Number 213.